federal contractors are taking a magnifying glass to the fine print in their contracts with the government, or they should be. The General Services Administration has proposed a set of rules known as class deviation. In a nutshell, it wants all contracts expunged of boilerplate clauses that run against the federal acquisition regulation. Joe Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. In this morning's Legal Loop, he joins me now to explain more about what GSA hopes to do. Joseph, good morning. Great to have you on.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what does GSA hope to do here?
Well, you said that the boilerplate clauses should be expunged from the contracts, and GSA would like that to happen, but if it doesn't, they've written a clause that simply nullifies them. The idea is that there are terms and conditions in many standard contracts like terms of service or end-user license agreements that are inconsistent with either federal law or federal, nor ordinarily federal practices in contracting. So they've written a clause that says, doesn't matter what you put in these provisions, specific provisions are going to be illegal and unenforceable.
And these are provisions that have been presumably in these contracts for years and years and years.
Presumably, yeah. In terms of some of them, I think it's possible whether they're even now because they're contrary to statute. For example, contracts that have automatic renewals, that's fairly common. But they're inconsistent with the Anti-Deficiency Act, at least where the contract is being funded with annual appropriations. So they're probably not legal now. There are other provisions that are at least questionable. For instance, some of these standard boilerplate clauses require mandatory arbitration, and they sometimes even identify an arbitration agency. But that's not consistent with the disputes process that's laid out in statute for federal government contracts. So it's unlikely that that would be upheld.
Now, this is coming out of the Office of Government-Wide Policy at GSA. Is it a government-wide thing or only to GSA contracts?
Well, this proposed clause contracts, there is a government-wide provision in the FAR that does the same thing, but only for indemnities. And there is an Anti-Deficiency Act issue, so indemnities are highly restricted, if not illegal, under that provision.
And what are indemnities exactly?
Well, that's where the government would have to pay the contractor for certain types of losses the contractor would incur. It's not unusual in a commercial contract, but the government doesn't want to sign up to open-ended obligations like that.
And I guess the one you mentioned, automatic renewals, you can't obligate funds that haven't been appropriated, and so an automatic renewal could put an agency in that position if the agency followed it.
That's exactly the problem. But some of these other items on this clause are not required by statute or contrary to statute. They're simply things that GSA thinks the government wants to have or likes to have and is going to enforce in these commercial contracts.
And there's an interesting one, too, here. The commercial supplier's terms must be included physically and verbatim. No incorporation by reference is permitted any longer. What does that mean?
Well, it's not uncommon for documents to be incorporated by reference. In fact, the government does this all the time. They'll call out contract clauses by regulation number, and the contractor's got to go find the regulation and look them up, or ask the contracting officer for a copy. But they're easily found online, sometimes the clauses themselves will mention documents that aren't included, which the contractor has to go find. But the contractor is not going to be able to do this in GSA commercial contracts. The contractor is going to have to take the language it wants and have the contracting officer put it into a modification physically and incorporate it into the contract.
Okay, yeah, so that means it saves the government some work and running around, I guess, if someone decides to actually read the boilerplate in a contract.
Well, that's a big if.
I guess so. And unilateral changes not permitted, with consistent with commercial item changes clause.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same that we now have in the commercial items clause. it says that neither party can unilaterally change the contract. Apparently, some of these boilerplate provisions are inconsistent with that, so it gets changed. That's not a real showstopper. But there are a couple of them that are, I think, kind of interesting. One is involving final pricing. The entire agreement, which includes the commercial terms and conditions, including the pricing, can't be marked or treated as confidential information. Well, there is case law out there that says that unit prices can be protected from disclosure under the Freedom of Information Act, and this seems to cut against those cases. So I'm a little curious as to why GSA wants to include pricing.
Yeah, because usually it's the government that wants to see what the commercial prices are, not the other way around.
Well, yeah. The question is whether your competitors can use your government contracts as a way of getting commercial intelligence on, you know, how much you're discounting your items. In fact, it could even be other customers who might want to have the same level of discounting.
But if you're dealing with the government, it's all open. It's all out there. If it's a federal contract, in theory, that's a piece of public information.
Well, the contract is, but there are cases, as I've said, that allow contractors to protect the unit pricing of their contracts under certain circumstances. GSA is cutting against those cases.
We're speaking with contract attorney and procurement attorney Joseph Attrillo of Washington. Why do you think GSA is doing this now? I mean, they've had contracts since time immemorial here.
Well, the announcement of the clause says that this is going to save everyone time and effort with having to negotiate individual terms and conditions. So, you know, maybe they're experiencing a lot of difficulty in the terms and conditions in terms of, you know, taking a lot of time to negotiate them in an individual basis. This way, they're just going to cut out a whole bunch of them and therefore limit the negotiations.
Also, we should mention the one about software audit. I think this is mainly about software, is from my reading between the lines here, when you talk about automatic renewals and so on. There's also one about audits. Any clause of this agreement permitting the commercial supplier or licensor to audit the end user's compliance is hereby amended, and so on. And there's a lot of changes from the way software companies sometimes do audits of commercial clients.
Right. They want to limit that. And another significant one, I think, is that they're preventing the contractor from unilaterally terminating the contract. This is peculiar in two ways. First of all, it's represented as being contrary to law. Well, it's not. The law permits the government to require the contractor to keep work while the dispute is pending, but it doesn't require that the government do so. So this is a policy change by the government. The second strange thing is that GSA schedule contracts have a standard clause allowing the contractor to terminate the contract on 30 days advance notice. So I'm confused as to whether or not GSA intends to get rid of that provision, or whether this one just didn't think about that one when they wrote this particular clause.
Well, there is that recent case of the construction company building or trying to build that hospital, I think in Denver, and for the VA, and they walked off the job because the thing was getting out of control with specs and changes and prices and costs and timeline. And the contractor said, we simply cannot fulfill your contract here. And they walked away, and the VA in this case had to run out there and make amends to the contractor so it would come back and finish the project.
Yeah, there are very limited circumstances when that can happen. It isn't clear to me that this clause is going to change that case law. It isn't the usual practice, but in extreme cases, the contractor can stop work.
All right, so these are proposed rules in the Federal Register, but they're not finalized yet, correct?
Well, it's a class deviation, interestingly enough, so it doesn't have to be issued as if it were a regulation, at least not in GSA's view. So they think they're going to roll this out on, I believe, April 20, and start putting it in solicitations and then try to include it in contracts when they're modified or renewed.
All right, so what should contractors, if anything, right now to prepare for this? Or do they just have to let GSA put the overriding clause, if you will, on top of all the contracts?
Well, comments are due, as I think I mentioned, I'm sorry, the rollout date's May 20. Comments are due on April 20. So if you don't like these provisions, you can get that information to GSA by April 20 and then try to change some of these ideas, but some of them come out of statute, so GSA is not going to be able to do much of them. I think commercial contractors have to understand that the government's simply a different kind of customer, and they're not going to be able to do everything they can do with a commercial customer.
I was going to say, yes, as the government is always talking about how it wants to be more businesslike in its dealings with contractors, and they're having all of these corporate-like programs to consolidate procurement. But yet, at the end of the day, the government is not really a commercial customer at all.
No, it's gotten a little bit better over time, but we're still a long ways away.
Joe Petrillo is a partner at the law firm Petrillo & Powell. As always, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tom.